Have you been to Jesus?
When we come, are you watching the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace, His Son? Are you watching the blood of the Lamb? Are you watching the blood in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you watching the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Watching the blood of the Lamb, did you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you watching the blood of the Lamb? Are you watching the blood in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you watching the blood of the Lamb?
What this song is talking about is when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we have been washed by His blood. I mean, listen, it doesn't just cover up our sin. It washes us white as snow, He talks about. One day He's going to come back and God's not going to see us as the imperfect sin that we have, but He's going to see us in the sinlessness of Christ. Isn't that awesome?
Amen.
Isn't that amazing that all of our filth, and listen, but by the way, it's only if we're washed in the blood. Is that right?
Amen.
Amen. On that third verse. Question this morning.
Amen.
And I imagine most of us are here like, well, that's why we're here, Pastor. Because we've been washed in the blood. But maybe sometimes folks can slip in, maybe something happened in your heart through your life, and you say, you know what, I think I'm still paying for my own sin. There's an answer. Amen. So we're going to receive our offering this morning. Gentlemen, let's have a word of prayer, please.
Lord, thank you for the blessing for us to be able to be here to sing your praise and hear from your word. Just pray that you would bless this offering, be able to use it to support our missionaries and the church, and help us have a good day today and learn from your word. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Please be seated.
Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
We're going to talk about the Sullivans, their letter. Actually, we're going to do a little catching up. I've got three letters from them. I only gave you the last one. Invite other people and tell his members the same thing. So they preached about it. about reaching people. They printed invitations. They spent the weekend in Motherwell reconnecting. Remember, Motherwell was when he was kidnapped from. 70 people attended Easter service after that. It's wonderful. Yes. They are thankful. I mean, the Lord has helped them recover from that terrible incident. They're excited now about their opportunities. Now, remember, this letter I'm telling you about now was before they had found a new church. So they still were looking for that. They went and canvassed people. They invited them to a Bible study. It was in a densely populated area in the south end of Kverka, which is what used to be called Port Elizabeth. That's the capital of South Africa. There was no strong gospel preaching church there, but it was near the tourist district. It was near an airport, so it was a strategic place for an outreach. They were looking for a place to rent because they had to have a place to put their church. So that was during April. And also, back in Motherwell, you've got that young man named Miso, who is still teaching there and preaching. He's leading the services. He's also going to Bible college, and he started a Bible study for young men. 10 of them are consistently coming to his study. And although most of them were unsaved, he took them to a camp, and he's hoping that they will get saved. And also, a young lady was baptized during that time. That brings us to May. As they're weaning themselves from that church in Motherwell, which is Fellowship Baptist, they've also been helping at another church, a place called Cayuga, or Cayuga Baptist Church. The missionaries there were in the United States for a couple weeks, so they went and they helped. You know, he preached, and the wife taught, and they were doing quite well, just trying to help out. And while they were there, another woman accepted Christ. Praise the Lord. Their prayers were answered during this month also. God provided them a building, and now they have a new church. It's called Cornerstone Baptist Church. It's kind of like they've gone from a township area to the main town area. So it's just changed them. It's a place called Hume Wood. It's about 18 miles from Motherwell. He said it's like a whole new mission, if you'll, because there are different people groups there, different cultures, languages. It's close to the university, which is great. And another church, Grace Baptist, actually sent a student from the university to help them. And they had their very first service on May 31st. So we got a new church in South Africa. Now we come to this letter. During July, they hosted 50 young people from Oakwood Baptist Church in Anderson, South Carolina. I don't know if anybody of you ever been there, but South Carolina is definitely a beautiful state. They helped distribute up to 1,000 invitations for their new church. The following Sunday, there were 9 first-timers at the church, and they're asking us this. They want us to consider bringing a group to serve there. They are open to hosting future missions teams and ministry interns, and they plan to host a team in October and February. So if you're interested, talk to the pastor. During a winter break, they have winter there, like we're having summer, that's winter there in South Africa. They focused on getting students to come under the gospel. They had a great turnout at that Camp Rhino, if you recall, we've talked about that for a lot of times. It's about 36 miles away, junior and teen camps, and Motherwell Church brought 20 people there, and this new church, Cornerstone, brought 4 ladies to the camp. He was invited to speak at a retirement community near the church. He preached to 60-plus people there that attended. The family sang, and he shared his testimony, I'm sure, about the issue that he had and the miraculous saving of him from that terrible situation. They're averaging about 15 people each Sunday. It's a new church, so that's wonderful. And they're continuing to meet with people and study in the Bible. He asks that we pray that the Lord equips them for this new church, for meaningful connections in this new community. They would love souls to be saved in this new church. And they want, for Miso, back in Motherwell, strength and courage and wisdom for his learning and teaching. The questions tonight will be a church question, a geography question, a spirituality. So please come back tonight. Thank you.
Amen. Isn't that awesome? This young man is in Bible college, pastoring a church, and also training others. Amen. It sounds kind of biblical right there. I'm going to tell you what. How many think they would love to go on a missions trip to South Africa? Yeah, wouldn't that be awesome? Kayla spent several months there with the Osa people. Kind of like the coast like that. And so in that area, I thought, man, we got to make sure she'll leave her job and just head there next week. You got to be careful with those. And so what a thrill. I love that. I love the invitation. And so we're going to start working on that. We'll see what we can, John, get some more information, find out what we need to do by the end of this year. No, for next year. And with that, my wife and I are going to be leaving a week from Tuesday to head to Sri Lanka. We're excited about that. We want to be a missions-minded church. We are a missions-minded church. And so excited about that and the things that are going on there. I had a meeting yesterday with our linguists and some of the things that we're dealing with. We're excited about the next step of they're pushing on with the getting through the book of Matthew. So they're up into the Beatitudes, you know. And so I'm going to just give you this report. While I was talking to her, she said our mother tongue translator there in Sri Lanka, Aisha, she said she gave she was at a coffee shop working there on the internet. You know, they do that there too. You know, in the capital they have that. Outside the capital they don't have those, but in the capital she's there. And somebody came by and was seeing over her shoulder what she was doing and said, "Oh, what is that?" You know, and it happened to be a Catholic lady. And she was showing her, and so showed her the copy of the book of Ruth Gay Katava, which means Ruth's story. And she read it and said, "What is this?" And so she began reading and said, "Oh, I never understood what that meant before." So isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? And this is really what we hope to see is when they read it and like, oh, it does make sense now. And what we had this. So we're excited about that. We're excited to get there. And y'all pray. We pray. We got to pray that God's hand will. We need God to do not just what we can't do, obviously that, but also to keep the enemy at bay because we can't do that too. Exciting things. And so we get over the Asia. We're going to work on getting Africa. That's going to be awesome. I'd love to go down there and maybe we, you know, I want to promise you probably won't be kidnapped while we're there. By the grace of God, God will do exactly what we need. You're like, okay, I'm not going now. Anyway, I'm involuntary. No, amen. God's good. Let's all turn over to number 343, and let's all stand together once again. 343, revive us again.
Good morning, everybody. Announcements for the week. We had a wonderful time at the nursing home last Thursday. Ask anybody who went, and if you haven't gone, I encourage you to go and check it out. I had such a good time. I had such a great time. And talking to people, getting to meet some people, interesting people. But it was really, really good. There were some people while Pastor was preaching where they were quoting pastors, the passage Pastor was preaching out of, in the middle of they were saying other things too, but we were having a lot of fun. It was really in men's Sunday school, we're going through serving and what love in action really is, and how we can share God's love through what we do in our actions to the world around us. And what better place to go than to people who want you to be around? They enjoyed us being there. Almost everybody you talked to were glad that we came to see them. A lot of those people don't have people that come and see them. And you talk to some of them, and there was a lady I talked to, and I said this morning. I asked her how she was doing, and she said, "Well, I'm on my way out. I don't have much time left." And I don't even know how to respond to that. I don't even know what to say to that. But what I think about is this, is she has a soul just like we do, and that soul's going somewhere. And if we can be a blessing and show her how to go to heaven, then what better way for her to leave here than knowing for sure if she dies, she goes to heaven. So it's really what I'm saying is this: it's a lot of fun, and it's a great opportunity to serve others around you. So I encourage you, go every Thursday night, 6:30 is when it starts. Be there just a little bit earlier and participate in it and get to meet some of these people. Then we also have, starting in next month, a soul winning class. That'll be on Saturdays from 9 to 11. It'll be at times where if you're kind of unfamiliar with how to share the gospel, we go over kind of a basic understanding of how we can share what we believe with other people. Basic Bible verses, you know, simple things that are easy to kind of memorize to kind of establish a way to share the gospel with somebody else. And then our school has chapel every Friday. There's a sign-up table on the back you can get with Brother Bob to come and be a part of the school and talk to the kids on Fridays for chapel service. If you're not sure what to talk about, there's lessons, kind of plans, packets that you can grab to give you an idea of something you can come in and be a blessing to the students at the school. And those are the answers. Pastor?
Yeah, let me just say about the soul-winning class. It's one Saturday is the soul-winning class. After that, it's the soul winning. And so on the 19th, we're going to have just a two-hour class. We're going to deal with a couple different things. And so we come for that. Definitely come for that. If you're interested at all and you're like, "Yeah, man, I don't know about going knocking on doors." I get it. It's a little bit. But this is also going to help you with just talking to anybody and give you a little script, and come be a part of that. And then each Saturday we're going to go, it'll only be an hour every Saturday, and you don't necessarily need to be there every Saturday, but come be a part of that. But please come to the class. If you're, there's a sign up list back there, we want to know, because we are going to have some refreshments. Amen. Yeah, amen. So come, you never know, we're probably going to have, you know, coffee and steak and crackers, and probably mostly crackers. No, I don't know what we'll have, but we'll have a little time to have a little break in there between it. And so, but then, you know, and let me say also about the nursing home ministry, you're not going to need to be there every Thursday. Everyone won't need to do that. I mean, welcome to, but we're probably, as we, you know, we had a huge group up there. It was awesome. And it was just so encouraging to see that. And then, but we'll probably divide that into two, maybe three groups. We'll see who keeps coming. And, but the folks are super receptive. I've been in nursing home ministries where people are, they're just trying to stay awake and you're preaching to heads, you know, and then these last, I mean, they were with it.
They were with it. Man, I said, I want to bring some of them over to church on Sunday and get them helping me. That's helping me. I mean, they were joining in. I love it. I love that. It was great. And so, but we'll have opportunities. And so it was a blessing. So if you want to keep being a part of that, we're going to still probably do a few weeks and see what it looks like. And then we'll start kind of maybe separating out, see who kind of wants to do what. And so it's going to be a great, great, great situation. So thrilled about that. Tonight, after the evening service, we're going to have a school board meeting for our school board members. And so those of you know who you are. And so just a quick one, maybe 2-3 hours, nothing. No, not very long. I really try not to keep taking up more days, right? Got another day doing this, another day doing this. I want you to come in, get something from the Lord, and then go live it. Amen? And so not spend all of our time here getting more that we're not living. I want us to get it and live it. And so I want to do that tonight, right after the evening service. It won't be long, maybe 30 minutes, really. Probably. Amen. All right. Let's turn over number 41. Number 41. You go ahead and remain seated for this one. Sweet By and By. Shall sorrow no more, not a sigh for a blessing of rest. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. To a bountiful Father above, we will offer our tribute of praise for the glorious gift of His love and the blessing that hallow our days. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. Amen, amen. We had a good yesterday. The teens went out to across the state to a youth rally. It took seven of them. I think that's the most we've taken. What a blessing. Amen. Yeah. Isn't that good? And I think we brought most of them back. Brought most of them back. And so that was good. So what a blessing for that. And so I'm glad and appreciate those going out there. There we go. All right, let me. I never know if I turn me off or on. Genesis chapter 25 this morning. Genesis 25. You say, Pastor, we're not in Genesis. Well, we are this morning. We're going to do something. We finished up the section of Acts that we're going to be at for a while. We finished the first missionary journey, so we're going to kind of... because after they got done with that first missionary journey, they went back to the church and stayed with them for a while. So we're going to leave them there. Amen. We're gonna go do some other things, then we'll get back to them. Amen. We're going to try to keep the chronology right. Maybe not. Genesis chapter 25. I wanted to do I'm looking at some just as I was coming across some things. I think I told you last week or week before, the number of preaching messages I've been in this past month. Just different conferences, different things. I think I've probably 50 or 60 messages I've heard in the past month. Good stuff. And so I took notes and look at it. So try to, you know, some of those things really speak to my heart and kind of just reveal things. A lot of it is just for me, but there's other things that I want to share. And so we're going to look at a couple things this week and next week. And then when we get back from Sri Lanka, we'll start on our next direction. And so Genesis 25, and as soon as you find your place, if you'd stand together with me, we're going to begin reading in verse 19. Genesis 25 and verse number 19. And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padan Aram, the sister of Laban, the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And the children struggled together within her. And she said, "If it be so, why am I thus?" And she went to inquire of the Lord. Let's pray together this morning. Our Father, we come together this morning. Lord, we've gathered in your house, and Lord, we've sang some praises, sang about your goodness, and Lord, we sang about our future and our hope and our eternity with you. And Lord, we want to lift your name up. And Lord, as we go into your word here this morning, Lord, I do pray that you would you lead, guide, and direct. Lord, would you speak to our hearts? Would you give us a real understanding of the message this morning? Lord, help me to be clear with that. And then, Lord, I pray that you'd give us hearts to receive this morning. And, Lord, I pray that you would be honored, you'd be glorified, and all that's said and done would lift up your name. And we'll thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. I want us to see what's happening here. Rebekah was barren. We find that. And so Isaac entreated the Lord for her, you know, his wife. And, you know, we're talking about in that day, I don't know if there's any day that a woman would be barren that it wasn't, difficult or discouraging in that kind of way. But, of course, in that day, it was maybe even more so. And so Isaac went to the Lord and entreated the Lord for his wife. And God heard that prayer, and she was with child. But not only that, there were twins within her. Yeah, be careful what you ask for. But there was an abnormal struggle that was within her, in her womb there. And the phrase, the children struggled, in the Hebrew, the word really means this. It means to crush against one another. It's really all we really have about that, but it was something going on, and it was something unusual, maybe not just twins, but something particularly unusual, and this it caused Rebekah to question the Lord. And she said, "Why, why did you?" And I'm paraphrasing a little bit here, but she's saying, "Why did you finally let me be with child?" And, you know, you answered the prayer, and now it's going to be like this, you know. And we don't know exactly what's going on. Maybe she was concerned that there was a problem with the pregnancy. I mean, the child mortality rates were high throughout most of history, right? And so maybe there was some concern. And can you see, you know, prayed and asked God and said, "God, why, you know, finally I prayed and you gave me this, I praise you, and now there's this, and why, you know, what's going on?" And God gives her the answer. God gives her the answer here in the prophecy in verse 23. "And the Lord said unto her, 'Two nations
are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. So we find this, wouldn't it be awesome if God just spoke to us that way? God, what's going on here? God said, well, let me tell you. Man, I'd love that. You know, God, but what God has given us, He's given us this. You know what she didn't have? She didn't have this. By the way, if you look at this thing, that's all that was there by then. Right? So we got a whole lot more. So let's talk. I still wish God just tell me clear. Tell me clear. The only thing with God telling us clear is that we got to clearly obey that. You can't be, well, I wasn't sure. I was trying. No, I mean, so anyway, we find this situation. I want to get to point number one this morning. Point number one, can we believe God's word? No, don't answer yet. Don't answer yet. That's point number one. Y'all know the rhetorical questions. You answer that, you'll be like, oh, no. Can we believe God's word? Listen, in mental assent, the answer is quite clear. It's easy for the believer. Yeah, of course we can believe God's word, right? Mentally, to say we believe God's word. I mean, I don't think you're going to be here this morning if you don't believe that, right? You're not here. Well, I just don't know if we can believe it. Now, unless somebody drug you here, right? So he said, well, you got to come with me. All right, fine. Here. I don't know if I believe this thing anyway, right? Some people could be like that. But the reality is this, if you're here believing God's word, we know it's there. That's why we're here. It's easy to really say, for the believer to say, yes, we believe God's word. But in the practical application of living out what we say we believe, not quite as easy, is it? Okay, you didn't pick that up. All right, let me try that again. Okay, it's one thing to say we believe it, but living out what we say we believe is a whole different thing altogether. Does that make a little more sense? Let's slow it down, y'all, because if I don't hear from you, I'm thinking, okay, they didn't get it. I wasn't clear. I'm going to say it again. Amen? Amen. And if I need an amen, you're not saying amen. I just point to... Okay, well, it was kind of like the wave. That's all right. That's all right. We're learning here. Amen. I praise. We got some folk moved from South Carolina. You think the further south you'd get, the more vocal we'd get? Because you go up north and they're like, you know. But we got folks from in Canada. They don't say amen at all, do they? No, I'm kidding. They're probably I love when we come in here and it feels like God is in this place. You know, like God is in this place and we're coming to receive and there's something attaching. And so you say, do we need all that? I don't know. I feel like I do a little bit. So, listen, it's easy to say we believe what God said. It's different altogether to actually live it out, what we say we believe. Now, I think at times we're too quick to say what we would do and what we would not do for the Lord. I think at times we just jump right, oh yeah, I'd do that for Jesus. For sure I would do that for the Lord. Right? Yeah, I would do that. Whatever God wants, I'm just going to do it. Right? We're going to say that because we're Christian people that believe the Word of God. I'm going to do whatever God wants me to do, I want to do. That would be the challenge of hearing it audibly from God. Hey, go do this, little sister. And she's like, I'm going to pretend like I didn't understand that. Right? No, God said it clear. Now it's clear. So did you sell that property for so much? Yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay, dead. So I think maybe a little grace and mercy, and we got a little bit. Anyhow, so it might be better for us rather to proclaim, by the grace of God, I'll do what God wants me to do. By the grace of God, I'll continue. Be careful when you think you stand, lest you fall. We could be guilty, all of us. We could be guilty. I would do this for Jesus. You know, what's the easiest is when you look at somebody else doing something, you're like, I wouldn't have done that. I would have been faithful for the Lord. You know, if I'd have got kidnapped there in South Africa, and I'd have just kept going on. I don't know what I'd have done. I think a few things. My wife would be like, we ain't never going back there again. You know what I'm saying? Take my children back there, right? That's not true. I'm just, you know, there's a lot of things we think, but I'm saying, by the grace of God, I will be what God wants me to be. I think that's a much better place for us to get into. God had clearly given Rebecca a prophetic truth, okay? That was going to come to pass, okay? With the power and the authority of God. So God said it. Rebecca believed it, and so that settled it, right? Yeah, okay. Yeah, I didn't get y'all. Well done. Y'all didn't go into that trap. No, God said it. That should be enough to settle it with Rebecca. Once God said it, it's truth. Amen? Right? No. God doesn't need you to agree with Him for it to be truth. If God said this is what's going to happen, that's going to happen. Well, I just don't believe that. Doesn't change it. Somebody says, I just don't believe there's a hell. That ain't going to stop you from burning. Right? That was a little too harsh, but amen. That's truth. Right? I don't really like you think we're burning up in here, Pastor? No, I'm just trying to make that point. If God says something is true, whether we agree with it or not, it's truth. Okay? So, but the fact is, we want to maybe ask the question, did Rebecca believe it? I think she did. My opinion. I don't know. We don't know. I think she did believe God. I really do. But here's the question this morning that I really want to get to, and this is really going to be at the heart of the message, of the thought of this morning is this: is believing God enough? I want you to think about that this morning. Is believing God enough? I think maybe a better question is, can we believe God and also trust Him? That's really, I think, what we need. Can I believe Him? Me, can I believe Him, but then also trust Him? Because I think the believing is the easy part for a believer. Because believers believe, right? So here's the thing. We cannot trust God without believing Him, right? But I think there's times when we can believe Him without trusting Him to do what He said He would do. No, I can believe God, but I can't trust Him. I'm just saying, trust is a whole lot different thing, isn't it? So it takes a lot more effort. Believing is the thing. I believe God's, Jesus died on the cross. I believe. I talk to people all the time. I probably went through a lot of my life saying, no, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I didn't know what that meant. I didn't trust it. I just believed something like that. There's a little bit different thing we're going to get to here. So I find no record in the scriptures of Rebecca actually telling anyone else about this prophecy that God gave her. Could have she told it to Isaac? It seems to me, we don't know. It seems to me by as that we're going to unfold the story here in just a minute. It seems to me as the story unfolds and as the account of this, it seems to me that maybe she didn't say, maybe there's other things that did. But the point is, God gave the prophecy to her. In Romans, you don't need to turn, I'm just going to reference it. But in Romans chapter 9, verse 12, Paul confirms that again, that the prophecy was given to Rebecca. In the Greek, it uses the feminine singular. It's given to her, not to them. It was that this prophecy was given to her as an individual, to her as that. So we established this prophecy given to Rebecca for what I want to look at next. Point number two. When believing doesn't turn to trusting. Okay, go to chapter 27. Genesis chapter 27. And in verse 1. Genesis chapter 27 and verse 1. We're going to read a little bit through into this account. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, my son. And he said unto him, behold, here am I. And he said, behold, now I am old, And I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field, and take me some venison, and make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. So, Isaac is coming to the end of his life, right? He's coming to the end of his life, and he says, son, you know that meat I love? Go get me a steak. Go get your stuff, bow and arrow. Go hunt, get me. You know I love that stuff. Go get me a. I almost wonder if he was just using this to get a meal. I think he could have told him at any time. He said, go get this. So we kind of find this situation as we come in here. Verse 5, and Rebekah heard that when Isaac spake to Esau, his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob, her son. Isn't that weird? His son, her son. Twin brothers. That's not the message, but just... So she says to Jacob, behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, bring me venison, and make me savory meat that I may eat, and bless thee before the Lord, before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock, and fetch me from thence 2 good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. Okay. There's not a lot about this account actually given what we have here in this place in Scripture, so we only know what is there, right? But I imagine Rebekah believing God. That prophecy that was given, and putting her hope in God, and for Jacob, whom she loved. Turn back over to chapter 25 and verse 28. You see, it says there, and Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Could you imagine? I love that son. That boy can cook. Wouldn't that be a blessing? That's your relationship with your dad. I don't know if that's all, but the Bible tells us that. He loved him because of the venison. He's a good hunter. Love that boy. Man, don't do that to your kids. No, seriously. Don't find something and you constantly talk about how they do this one thing. They do that one thing and you think you're, oh man, they're great. They're great at this one thing. You know, I don't know that that really encourages them. They're great at one thing. Well, what about like other things, Dad? The venison. Man, I like what you can give me. Anyway, that's all we're going to get out of that. I'm going to move on. Okay? So, I imagine, you know, I imagine Rebekah loving God and all this, and now loving Isaac, and now the day had come. Rather, loving Jacob, and Isaac was about to give the blessing. The birthright was about to be settled. The situation, the what we call the patriarchal blessing, I'm going to mention that again, from the father to the son was about to be given. It's about to be settled. It was time for Rebekah to leap into action. Oh, yeah. If Jacob's future was going to be established, this right here was going to be the avenue. So, and I know how it feels a little bit. It feels wrong, right? Feels wrong. She's like, "Why he's gone? Why don't you go get me some goats? I'm gonna trick Dad into thinking goat is venison." So not only was his eyesight going, right? But the truth be told, we can find ourselves smack dab in the middle of trying to make our own plans, our own dreams, our own purposes become fulfilled, even claiming that it's the Lord's will for us to do it. No, listen, I think this is what God wants to do with my life. So we can now begin to do some things to make it work out according to how we think God wants us to do with our life. And we start finagling some things, right? We could have a tendency to do things in our power and then claim it was God that told us to do it. You imagine somebody saying, well, God told me to kill them. Isn't that weird? Murder somebody. God told you that? Like, what scripture? No, he spoke to me in a dream. Yeah, we can't use that anymore. God has given us his word. So the situation with Rebekah and Jacob, I want you to understand this clearly. It was clearly deception. There's no doubt that it was something else. Look back at chapter 27, verse 11. It said, and Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man. That's funny. And I'm a smooth man. The Bible's funny. I don't know. Anyway, but it's just facts. This is the way it is. He's hairy and I'm not. And verse 12, my father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a what? Deceiver. And I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. Okay. Jacob was concerned about this plot not working out. And it bringing a curse upon himself. Listen, Dad's eyes are going. He's going to reach up to put his hand on me. And he's going to be expecting a hairy man. I'm a smooth man. He's going to know like that. You ain't the right guy. You're a different guy. He said, I'm going to get caught. I'm going to get busted, and I'm going to receive the consequence of it. But Mom was having none of that. Mm-mm. This was her chance to set up her son for the future. As God said it was going to be for him, she wasn't going to let this slip away. Mom stepped up and said, no, I've got to look out for my boy. Right? So what's happening here? Look, okay, you're like, I'm not sure, Pastor, which way? I love it. All y'all trying to read ahead. What's going to happen next? Y'all know the story. Y'all stay with me. I'm going to get there. Y'all stay with me. Verse 13. And his mother said unto him, unto me be the curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them. Oh, man. This is a woman that believed God. No, she believed God. I believe she believed God. She just couldn't trust him. So she brings Jacob, her son, neck deep into her deception. Could you imagine a mother? I mean, I'm already talking about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the patriarchs. The second patriarchal mama, matriarch, she says, I'm gonna secure this thing. We're gonna deceive Dad. And I've got this, we're gonna do it. She said, you know, God told me what's gonna happen. So since God told me what's gonna happen, I'm probably pretty justified in making it happen. She could believe God, she just couldn't trust him. So she brings her. Can you imagine a mom bringing her son neck deep into deception? Come on, son. I'm gonna. And Jacob's a little bit. I don't know that he had this thought of like, I don't want to do wrong. What I see the script say, I'm gonna get busted, and I'm not. It's not gonna go better for me. It's gonna go worse. And Mom said, no. I'll take the curse. You know what she was saying? I'll take the blame. If Dad finds out, I'll take the blame. This is a good family relationship right there. That's going to help build something. Look at verse 15. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which he had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul shall, that thy soul may bless me. Okay, neck deep, I said. Literally, animal skins on his neck. And lies on his lips. But it gets worse. Look at verse 20. And Isaac said unto his son, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? You know, listen, it usually takes a while to get you a good buck. Man, how'd you get it done so quick? This was quick. I mean, you know, my sight's going to things, but my memory, it wasn't that long ago. How did you get that done so quick? Well, Jacob had an answer. Look there, verse 20. He says, and he said, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. Now he is evoking God in his deception. He's literally using the Lord's name in vain. No. God brought this venison to me. Did he? Don't you mean mama? And it's not venison at all. It's kind of what they do with our food these days. They fix it up, make it look like something else. I don't know if we're even eating food anymore. We got to be careful. We got to be very, very careful when we attempt to attach God to what we're doing in our own power, in our own will. We can at times use the Lord's name to make what we're doing approved by Him. And we could use things, well, you know, God just told me to do this. Come on. Can we stop that stuff? Can we stop this stuff about, listen, you know, God just led me to do this. No, God would not, according to His word, He wouldn't lead you to do that. He doesn't lead us to lie, cheat, steal, right? Deceive. I think we'd be safe to try to, if we're going to say God led me in this, I'm not opposed to saying God led me in this, but we ought to be able to say based on His word something or other, right? Now, even though God had told Rebecca what was going to be the situation for these boys, right? God had told that to her. He didn't say it was going to be up to her to secure it. Right? He didn't say, well, if you, here's the deal, you got to make it happen. God doesn't need our power to fulfill His will. I know it's a shocker to us sometimes. No, I've got to do this. We used to have a thing. I'm going to try to call my wife out, but we back in the days, this has been a while back, we'd see a vehicle for a really good price. So we got to go buy it. We got to go buy it now. I'm like, no, I don't. It's like, it's a good deal. We might lose it. I said, no, if it's not there tomorrow, then the Lord didn't want us to have it. Right? Then, you know, you might say, well, you know, you really, is that okay? I'm like, yeah, I just don't think, I think we could ask the patience. We go back and it's gone. And you know, you really did want it, but kind of moved a little slow, and it's like, ah, it's gone. And you know, after a while, she realized, no, we can, we don't have to have the one, right? And we go, and it's like, but there was a really good deal. I'm like, yeah, really good deals make me nervous nowadays. it'd have been good if Isaac would have got a little nervous. God doesn't need our power to fulfill His will. Can I say this as well? God doesn't need our deception, our suspicious, devious trickery to accomplish His will either. I mean, that's obvious. That's kind of obvious. I think it's pretty fair to say that God doesn't need our lying tongue to accomplish His will either. Well, no, it's just sometimes you just got to have a little lie. Imagine that. I mean, aren't you glad God left some of this in here for us to realize we've been of a terrible people all along, right? Man has always had that kind of thing. But I want you to see with me this morning the problem with believing God but not trusting Him to do what He says, which brings us to the third point. trusting God is a step beyond believing. Trusting is really this. Trusting is to make a decision. Okay, you see that? Trust is to make a decision. Now, you know, and I've said this many times about, you know, somebody, you say, hey, don't go down this road. If you go down that road, the bridge is out. You go down, you're going to fall into the ravine and you're going to die. And someone says, hey, thanks for that news. I appreciate it. And they keep going, they put the gas down and they just keep going. You say, no, I'm saying it's out. No, I understand what you're saying. Good. Thanks for, appreciate you telling me that. And they just floor it and they go off and they fall in the ravine and they die. You say, I don't think they believe me. That'd be a fair assessment, right? And so a lot of times we do that with what God gives us. God gives us, oh, no, I believe that. And sometimes we'll say stuff, what we believe about God, and it's so obvious. I mean, sometimes we live so obviously against what God has said. It really reveals we don't believe him at all. So trusting, though, is this. It's to make the decision to believe that God can accomplish what he said he would do without us forcing it to work. Okay, listen. This is much harder than we're often willing to admit. Trusting God is a lot harder. You know, I mean, you're talking about, Pastor, am I giving a tithe, 10% of my income? I'm already barely stretching the 100%. You're talking about taking 10%. By the way, I'm not talking about, God talks about it. He said, how am I supposed to do that? I don't know. You want me to give you a budget? I'm trying to figure mine out. So I was like, I don't know. You know what I'm going to do, though? I'm going to trust my wisdom, my financial savvy. No, financial savvy leaves people broke, destitute. I'm going to trust God. What about this thing? God, you know, you say, listen, you know, raising your kids this way, or your relationship with your wife, or you know, just whatever these things, all these things, how am I going to do that? How is that going to work? Because it's not working. You know, sometimes we just want somebody else to give us the 1, 2, 3 step. Can you give me the 12 step how to quit doing bad stuff and start doing good stuff? Yeah. Step 1, trust the Lord. Now, let me go back. Step 1, believe God. Step 2, trust him. What about after that? You work on that one probably about the rest of your life. It's this choice, decision. And it's a lot harder than we're often willing to admit. This isn't human character. It's not part of our human characteristic. It's a decision that actually goes against our nature. My nature is to trust this guy. I don't trust anybody else. I trust this guy. That's my nature. You know, I just don't know if I... The problem is... Our heart is so honest with us, isn't it? Follow your heart. Yeah, right. That'll get you in a heap of trouble. Let's stop quickly just saying, oh yeah, I'm going to do whatever God wants me to do. Like it's some flippant expected result of man. No, you hear what I'm saying to you folks this morning? Let's quit this thing that says, you know, I'm going to do what God said. Listen, yes, that should be our answer, but it's not flippant. Well, of course, sometimes we'll say it like, well, of course I'm going to do what God wants. But that's really not the course of human nature, is it? It's actually quite a challenge. It'd be good for us, it'd be well for us if we would say, when I say I'm going to do what God wants, I'm going to realize this is going to take a real continuing decision in my life. It's not going to be something I say at one time. Oh, yeah, obviously I'm going to do that. When I hear people say that, I know they're on the road to thinking they stand. And there's falls usually come behind that. It's not, obviously, I mean, it's not flippant, folks. It is not the expected result of man. Trusting God is really where the rubber meets the road. Mm-hmm. It's the works of our faith. The real evidence of a disciple. Again, I think one can truly believe God, yet still fall short of trusting him to do what we believe. But watch what ends up happening. Okay? Look at verse 26. Or chapter 27, verse 26. And his father Isaac said unto him, Come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him and smelt the smell of his raiment and blessed him and said, See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Therewith God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. So Jacob got the blessing he was after. Material abundance. Material abundance. Dew of a heaven. Fatness of the earth. Plenty of corn and wine. He got political and familial supremacy. Let people serve thee. Nations bow to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren. He got protection and favor. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be everyone that blesseth thee. Man, he got the stuff. The blessing that Isaac had intended to give to Esau, Jacob successfully stole it away. I'm sure he was proud. Pulled it off. With a proud mama behind him. I don't know if we don't have any, the Bible doesn't tell us about these things, but I imagine they're over there like, Yes! You did it! Woo! Like a high five. I don't think they were high five, but you know, there was something like, man, we did it. We did it. We put this together. We had a plan. We accomplished it. You ever won something by, I mean, probably not, you've heard of people winning something by deception and trickery and, well, you know, you got to do what you got to do to win and that kind of thing. And then after you won, you're like, yeah, but inside you kind of feel like, somebody has to come up to you, and they're just like, you won, and you're like the champion, you want to be celebrating. Somebody comes up to you like, you won the argument, but you lost a relationship. You got your kid to do what you wanted your kid to do, but what you've done in corrupting that kid. Could you imagine a mama deceiving her son, using her and having this kind of relationship and manipulating. And at the end think, yeah, I got him what he needed. What a tragedy. Imagine rejoicing over the successful deception and all of the sin that had to be involved. But the account doesn't stop there. Look at verse 30. And it came to pass as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone from the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. And he also had made savory meat and brought it unto his father and said unto his father, Let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac, his father, said unto him, Who art thou? And he said, I'm thy son, thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said unto his father, Bless me, even me also, my father. And he said, Thy brother came with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, Is not he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? There seems to be three things we're going to see here. Number one was the birthright. Jacob bought it from Esau for a meal. Literally, Esau traded away his birthright. In those days, a little bit later, it talks about the birthright was really a double portion. And he traded that away. It seems to be, in some respect, it was a legal transaction. He traded away his position of inheritance during a moment of exhaustion. And then we find the patriarchal blessing. Jacob stole the blessing. The solemn designation, and it's a, kind of in some way, it's a prophetic declaration of a son's future prosperity. It's really kind of, this patriarchal blessing is kind of a little bit of an interesting thing. I'm not exactly sure, to be honest with you, what it actually put upon him. You know, the father would kind of, that day was kind of in a sense like a priest over the family and so forth. And so it was a declaration of his the son's prosperity, his position in the family, about how his descendants would be in that situation, and a relationship as it relates to the rest of the family through the years. But then there's a third thing, which is really the thing that was most important, which is the Abrahamic blessing. Look at chapter 28, verse 1. It said, "And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Paddan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people. And give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham." Wow. You know what we find here? The Abrahamic blessing. Isaac separately gave Jacob the Abrahamic blessing. So, okay. There's not a thing anyone could do to take that blessing from Jacob. God is the one who said, "I'm going to give it to him." All of the posturing, the conniving, the deception, and self-preservation was all for nothing. We've got to get this done. We've got to do it. I've got to make this happen. No, it all was for nothing. God doesn't need our power to accomplish what He has already said He would. But there's a consequence for believing and not trusting. Look what ends up happening back in chapter 27 and verse 41. "And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother, Jacob. And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. And she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, Behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice, and arise, flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran, and tarry with him a few days, until thy brother's fury turn away, until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forgetteth that which thou hast done to him. Then I will send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day?" Husband and son. Now Esau wants to kill Jacob. He's going to give some days to mourn his father's death. And then when he's gone, Esau says, when he's gone, Jacob's gone. I'm going to slay him. Rebekah now sends the son she loved far away to await for the anger to blow over. She intended for it to be how long? A few days. Until she would fetch him back, and then everything would be perfectly fine. No, we'll do this thing. We'll do this thing. I know we probably should. We probably should. It's a little lying, cheating, stealing, conniving, deception. But it'll get what we needed, and then we'll kind of just say, I'm sorry, and everything will be all right. That's what Mama was thinking. But it didn't work out that way, did it? You know, we don't hear about Rebecca again in the Scriptures, except for where she was buried. Those few days ended up being 20 years later when Jacob arrived back home. Something else pretty interesting. Isaac didn't die at this time. Not even close. He lived actually another 40 years after this. 40 years, he didn't die. He thought he was, you know, maybe he's like, man, I'm about to die. I don't know, I better get this. Maybe he just wanted a good venison meal. I don't know what it was. But they all thought he was dying. He thought he was dying, and he didn't die. You ever wonder why Esau wasn't angry with Jacob when he returned? Jacob's like, I'm going to go here. Here's one family. If they kill you, let me put my least favorite wife up front. That's what he did. My least favorite, my favorite wife I'm going to put back here. Right? That's what I'm just telling you. That's what he went. They sent them and with their kids and so forth, and this band. So if he kills them, we can run, we can get out of here. I mean, wouldn't you hate to be the least favorite wife? Man, my wife is my favorite wife. I don't have a least favorite. So he gets there, and Esau is just like, there's no anger there. It's like, what's going on? Well, you know, he spent the last 20 years continuing on with Dad. As it turned out, even without the birthright and the patriarchal blessing, Esau still fared pretty well. When Jacob was giving him all this stuff, giving him cattle, giving him all these blessings, he said, no, I don't need to keep your stuff. He said, I do well. He said, I need it. You know what happened? Esau didn't need that stuff either. God blessed him. But yeah, we have to do it. Here's our conclusion this morning. What a waste of our life to attempt to secure what God has already promised He will provide. What a waste. Folks, you may believe God's Word. You may believe in God's Word as much as Rebecca did. Wholeheartedly believing what God said is true. But a failure to trust Him, to perform it, is going to cost you in this world. No, I know God's going to do it, but we believe it, but by not trusting it, what cost? This mama thought, no, I'm going to get my son his thing. And we're going to make this happen. The future, you know, I'm sure she probably knew we shouldn't do that. I know she knew. She knew what righteousness was. And this thing's happening here. And it's like, well, you know, it'll blow over a few days. Never saw, best we know. Because, by the way, Jacob didn't get sent for. You know how he came back? God told him, go back. He said, I'm going to die over there. God said, don't worry, you ain't going to die. Can you imagine how long Jacob was thinking? Looking over his shoulder. Is Esau coming? That hairy man, he can get me from a long way, you know. All right? God is not limited by the constraints of our situation. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So, I want to challenge you this morning to ask yourself this question. Am I trusting God's Word, or am I just saying I believe it? Would you respond this morning with this? Lord, I believe, help me thou mine unbelief. God, I believe. But maybe what we need to recognize is, Lord, that I'm believing, but there's still a level that I'm not trusting you. I don't know what that is in your life this morning. Maybe we just need to ask the Lord to help me trust Him in what I'm already believing. Let's all stand. Father, I do pray that you would, Lord, would you speak to our hearts? Lord, I trust you have already. Lord, I know you've spoken to my heart about this thing of trusting you. And God, it could be a challenging line of believing you, Lord, and knowing how much I'm involved and how much I'm trusting you. And yet, Lord, your word tells us that our heart is deceptive. We deceive our own selves. Yet, Lord, your word is so true. So, God, I pray that you'd help us this morning, yes, certainly to believe you, but then, Lord, that we would trust in a living, practical way what we say we believe. Father, have your own way in this time of invitation this morning. We'll thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Listen, God has spoken to your heart this morning. The invitation is open for you. Come. Come. Maybe just ask God, God, I don't know how I'm going to work this out. God, you've got things going on. And I believe you, but it is hard to trust you. Invitations for you. Maybe this morning you'd say, Pastor, I don't know. There's ever been a time that I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I don't even know if I die today, I'd go to heaven. Is that like you? Is that you this morning? If you're like that this morning, say, you know what I need to start with is really sealing up this thing about believing. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still. And with all who will trust and obey. Sing it with me. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Amen. Believe and trust. And that is happy. It's happy in Jesus. All right. Well, I just want to remind you, be back tonight, 6 o'clock. We're going to jump back into Job. We left him there for a while. He's still there. We're going to get back in. And it takes a little turn. It takes a little turn tonight. Y'all intrigued a little bit? What's going to go? You going to read ahead? Come on. Come back tonight as we continue the story of Job and what's going on in his life. He's not faring well. It's getting tough. Second round of arguments are going to start. And so we're going to see that a little bit tonight. And then right after this service, we're going to have the school board meeting. And so God's been good to us. Amen. All the time. And so if you're interested in the nursing home ministry, I'd like you to, you know, what you want to do. Say you've been there one time. You're like, hey, I'd like to be interested in preaching, be on the schedule. If you talk to Kayla, she's working out the schedule for that. She's the point of contact to get those arranged so far. And so if you're there, I'd like to be involved in that, whatever your place is. If you let her know, and that'd be great. We'll get that put together. Choir practice, regular time tonight. See y'all.